Hello, and welcome to Pop a la Carte, episode number 52. I feel like that's a, like, big number, that even is, though it's not a big number,
you
but
know
that's
what?
Just because it's 52 weeks.
New 52.
That's exactly what I'm saying, the new 52! Yes!
There you go.
And The Flash, number 52, just came out this week,
that's
so.
That's a lucky number this week,
exactly.
Then.
There you go. All right. This week, we're going to talk about some Korean adaptation, American adaptations?
Yes, American adaptations of Korean stories.
There you go, that's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. We've got some mini reviews of Black Klansman, Science Fair, and a Japanese drama called Switched.
Switched.
And then lots of shit to talk about the Academy, because they're doing stupid things, and, you know, it's fun to talk about crap about them. Anyway, I am Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
I'm Jessica.
And I'm Angela.
All right, Angela, you can start us off with our fun Korean or American adaptations of Korean things. This is going to confuse me every single time I try and say it.
Korean stories. The first one, the reality show, is not a story. It's called Masked Singer, or King of the Masked Singer in Korea, and it's a hugely popular one in Korea, and it's going to be on Fox now.
Mm.
And basically, you get
that's a bad thing.
People to come out and sing for, like, a live audience and a panel of, it's not clear if they're judges or just, like, I don't know, whatever.
Haters?
They're in disguise, like, guessers, kind of. They're in disguise and they're masked.
Oh.
And to the judge, like, judge them, but also maybe kind of try to guess
who this
the famous
is.
Person is.
Oh.
Because singers, too. Oh. So, like, do you know the voice of that person or not?
So it's always famous people that are masked.
No, the judges are masked,
always,
I feel like.
Or just, like, mixed up in, because
okay.
I've never seen, like, an episode, really,
okay.
of it. I know of it more, because I guess YouTube recommends, like, Korean stuff to me, because, you know, algorithms. And, I saw a clip, I guess when Ryan Reynolds was doing press in Korea for Deadpool 2, he went on King of the Masked Singer.
Ooh.
And he was in this, like, little rainbow outfit, rainbow unicorn. And again, you don't see him. It's person's, like, completely covered.
Mm.
Like, completely covered up. And then he went and sang Tomorrow from Annie. He's not that bad, actually.
Oh, really?
Good. Okay, now I want to look this up.
Yeah, we're going to have to watch this after.
I'm sorry. I should have said that before the podcast so you could watch it.
That's all right. We'll tell everybody go look it up, like, as we're going to afterwards.
Yeah,
it's
just
fine.
Ryan Reynolds, Masked Singer.
That sounds... Yeah. That sounds exactly like something Ryan Reynolds would do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just randomly show up on some foreign,
and then he,
like,
takes off, like, the rainbow
show.
Unicorn. He's in, like, a Deadpool outfit.
Yes!
Yeah, exactly. Which is appropriate.
It's like a cheapo. It's like a cheap outfit, too. It's like a paper mask. Like, it's not.
Oh.
So, yeah, like I said, I've never seen a full episode, because, like, I watch some variety, but I don't really watch, like, reality, and I don't really know a lot about K-pop. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would really recommend or recognize any voices.
Right.
But I guess it's coming to the U.S. And the U.S. one made it sound like, because I watched the trailer for it, and they made it sound like all of the singers are going to be famous, and you have to guess. But
I mean, that's what would make,
like,
sense, because
yeah,
how are you going to guess people you don't know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is it supposed, because what is it, if there's somebody who's not famous, you're trying to guess if they are famous or not, if they're someone you recognize, or it's just some rando?
Yeah, I guess that's
oh,
true.
That
I guess you could be
thing.
Like, are you Anne Hathaway? And it's like, no one. There's not a person. Well, it's a person, but not
it's
a,
not anybody
yeah.
famous that anybody knows or cares about. Well, somebody cares about them. Hopefully.
Someone cares about them. Hopefully.
I feel a little bit conflicted, because I feel like a lot of times when U.S. takes over something that's popular somewhere else, it just gets, like, very, like, Americanified, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, MTV used to do this, it's Silent Library. I don't know, it was Silent Library in Japan, but I don't know what it is in what MTV called it. But it's, in Japan, it was by these, like, four comedians, and they would just have, like, it's called a Batsu game. So Batsu means X in Japan, so it's like a boo-boo, like, you're wrong, you lose.
Oh, okay.
And so they sit around at the library, and they, like, pull cards or whatever, and whoever gets, like, the Batsu card has to do whatever the punishment is,
mm-hmm.
but they're in a library, so they have to be quiet, and they can't make a sound, because, you know, you don't talk in the library.
Right.
But, like, they're sitting over here, like, getting, like, snakes in their face, or, like, their nostrils pulled, or spanked, or something like that, and they have to be, like, really, really quiet. And then MTV, like, picked it up and did, like, an American version, but it was more like a game show where you had to, like, win money, and they weren't necessarily, like, quiet. So it kind of, like, takes away a little bit of what makes it so good.
Yeah,
right,
what made it special.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, how the whole Masked Singer thing will be adapted for Fox. Because I feel like they'll try to, like, American Idol.
Yeah, spin. I was going to say, it sounds like they would make it, like, one step further than The Voice, right? Like, before, right. like, you'd have to turn around to vote. Yeah. And now yeah. it'd be like, you don't even get to see who it is kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, the costumes still looked pretty crazy. I'll give them that. Like,
okay.
On the Fox preview. So I'm looking it up on Wikipedia now, and it is a competition. Mm. So they're given the masks, seals their right famous people on it, so they don't want, like, bias to be in it. So it doesn't matter, like, how popular or not the person is. And so the first round, they all sing the same song, and then the second, they sing their own song.
Oh, okay.
And, like, their identities are not revealed until after they've been eliminated.
Hmm. That's kind of
so
cool.
That's how it yeah. works. And there's a fair number here. They have, like, names, too. Like, not their real names. They have names just, like, that describe their costumes. So I'm seeing some gems. Like, there was a Bob Ross.
Mm.
There was... written with love pencil. sexy vocal cricket.
Sexy vocal cricket.
Warm heart robot. Sort of Dorothy. So, like, yeah. So, it depends on how they do it, I guess. So, the Fox trailer made it seem like it was very focused on, like, guessing who the identity could be. Whereas it looks like in this one, like, that's an element that's, like, a fun element of it. But at the end of the day, it's, like, an anonymous singing competition that a lot of times famous people are in.
Interesting. Yeah, we'll make it about celebrity.
Yeah.
Because that's what, yeah, that's what will happen.
Yeah, the whole point of hiding them is so that the celebrity doesn't factor into
right.
the judging.
Right. But if you recognize your fave's voice.
Yeah, yeah. You can't have anybody who, like, is a singer. Because right. you would know the... Exactly. Or who's ever done any kind of singing.
Or that, yeah, I mean, they have to sing, like, a song super different from what they normally sing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, like, so. Even, like, Hugh Jackman, like,
yeah,
he's
yeah,
done
yeah.
musicals. People are going to know
for
his
sure,
voice
yeah.
kind of
I mean,
thing.
I guess, like, in that way, like, the guessing element of it is going to probably be super strong, even if you're not guessing correctly, necessarily, right? Like, I'm sure they'll try to trip you up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
Like, if the longer they can fool somebody, do they win?
Right?
There you go. Maybe they'll win money for a charity or something like
that'd
that.
Be cool.
I wonder what would, like, motivate, like, somebody super famous to be on this. Like,
money.
Fun.
Yeah.
Money
yeah.
Or promo if they got a movie coming out.
That's true.
That's
usually
yeah,
that's true.
Because what do they all do, like, lip sync battle for? It
yeah.
is, it's almost always, yeah,
But the competition, is the competition, like, someone wins at the end of every episode, or do you have to be on it for several weeks, like The Voice or, like, American Idol?
I doubt that. I mean,
yeah.
You can't...
Yeah, I think it's every episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So then every episode, then definitely we'll get a lot of famous people on it for promo and stuff.
Yeah.
If it was an actual competition, yeah. like American Idol, then it would be really
but
hard.
Will it be anybody actually really famous, or is it going to be, like, Jane Lynch's Hollywood Game Night, where it's a bunch of people who, like, most people don't know, because it's half the time it's TV shows, and half the time they're TV shows nobody watches.
Yeah. What channel is hers on?
NBC, right?
NBC?
NBC? Huh. I think it might be NBC.
Well, then, yeah. I don't know. I'm sure they'll start with, like, Fox stars, right?
Yeah.
Stars of Fox shows.
Yeah, and almost everybody on Hollywood Game Night is
yeah. Yeah.
usually from something related
to... But if
to...
it gets popular, then it'll branch. People will want to be on it, you know? And
yeah.
if it's just whatever, then no one will care.
And then it'll be canceled.
And then it'll be canceled, and then we won't, you know?
I mean, it's Fox, so don't get tied to it, because
right.
Fox cancel everything. Mm. I don't think I watch anything on
I feel
Fox
like everyone anymore. Cancels everything, unless they're the CW.
Yeah.
You
know.
Who don't cancel anything.
They don't cancel anything.
So if you got canceled on the CW, it's really bad.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you really
sorry,
failed.
Life sentence.
Yeah.
Aww. And Valor. Valor got canceled,
yeah,
right?
Valor got
yeah.
canceled, too. Mm-hmm.
Who was watching those shows?
Clearly nobody.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
All right, well, I don't usually watch reality television, but I will admit I watch that. Like, I've watched mm-hmm. Lip Sync Battle. It depends on who's on it.
Right.
Yeah.
It has to be somebody I actually
exactly.
care about. But
this is made very much to, like, have good viral clips.
Yeah.
From it, like,
basically.
Which is also what Lip Sync Battle is.
Exactly.
That's its purpose.
But that's not in a major network.
Yeah.
So it makes more sense in that way,
mm-hmm.
whereas it seems like a strange thing for Fox to do.
But yeah, I agree.
They're all desperate. For programming, so
yeah,
maybe
they'll add some other stuff in there. I don't know. And I'm gonna have to watch, like, a full episode of this Masked Singer thing now, because I can't imagine more than, like, just a couple of singing clips. You know, I'm like,
yeah,
what else happens? So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So next up, Pachinko.
Pachinko, which I really don't know very much about at all. Well, I didn't even know it was like, big or popular. You know, John the other day was like, oh, I read Pachinko. Maybe you would, like, would you like to read it? It's Korean. And I was like, well, tell me what it's about. And he's like, this family during the Japanese occupation. And I was like, no, thank you.
That was the end of that. Well, I have the description here from Goodreads.
Okay.
So, Pachinko by Minjin Lee takes place in Yangdo, Korea in 1911. In a small fishing village on the banks of the East Sea, a club-footed, cleft-lipped man marries a 15-year-old girl.
Oh.
The couple have one child, their beloved daughter, Sunja. When Sunja falls pregnant by a married Yakuza, the family face ruin. But then Isaac, a Christian minister, offers her a chance of salvation. A new life in Japan as his wife. Following a man she barely knows to a hostile country in which she has no friends, home, and whose language she cannot speak, Sinja's salvation is just the beginning of her story. Through 8 decades and 4 generations, Pachinko is an epic tale of family, identity, love, death, and survival.
This is a lot. This sounds like very, very heavy.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know about that.
Like, you were not, like, I was like, you were not selling this on me.
Like, no. You failed us, Goodreads. No, yeah, I definitely am like, nice Christian man takes her to Japan. Like, oh, wow.
And he's quote-unquote saving her.
Right, like, I hope that's like, the point is, like, let's question this, right?
I sure hope so, because, yeah, that sounds incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
We buried the lead, which is that Apple TV is going to make this a show.
A show and not a movie, because I feel like this would be better as a movie, so you can get it all out.
Yeah, get it all out of the way
instead of following it for 8 years, because you have to do like 1 decade.
Right, like, this will be like Poldark. Yeah, this will be like Poldark. I said Poldark at least had 20 books, just the one. But anyway, continue. So Apple TV.
It says series Apple to develop new TV show based on best-selling novel Pachinko. So
okay,
it's gonna be a show.
I didn't know that Apple like. Where are
they're just starting
shows?
Yeah, they're starting to compete like everybody else.
Apple TV's a thing? What?
Huh. Yeah, they want a part of the game like just like everybody else. You know, just like YouTube.
Yeah, I guess YouTube is true. No one's watching YouTube shows.
No, although they have a couple.
Choosing something that spans 8 generations is maybe a good place to start. If you can hook people at the beginning, then you have a lot of material.
But if it's so depressing, like why would I torture myself?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Something good's got to be happening to someone while nasty stuff is happening to Sunja.
I guess they just assume that it's, like, a period drama of, you know, so people will like that. People like period
drama. That's what's interesting about it, because it basically means America is making a saguk.
Yeah.
And saguk is the Korean term for, like, a historical TV show. I've not usually seen it used in relation to, like, 1900 and later. I usually see it as, like, Joseon era stuff. I don't really watch a lot of legit. Like, I watch the Sagok fusions, which are like the Rokkans. The true Sagok is like hundreds of episodes, really long time, epic stories. Those are the shows that actually get the huge ratings in Korea, because like, everybody watches that in the events and everything. So that sounds like what this is. So that's basically an American Sagok. So the question is if anyone Korean is going to be involved in this.
So it's like it's basically their version of a soap opera. Like,
right.
But which like we don't have the same kind of thing. It's like their version of like a Grey's Anatomy, or if you're British, it's like EastEnders.
Well, they have those too. They have the daytime soap opera, the Mokjongs. That's different. Sagok is specifically historical.
Okay.
So it's like a Downton Abbey.
Downton
Abbey. That's a good
one. Or Poldark. Like, Poldark is depressing as fuck, and people apparently love it. So I say apparently as if I didn't love the first 3 seasons. I did, but I'm really mad at the latest season. That's why.
Sagoks are known for historical accuracy as much as possible as well.
Oh, that's good. I like historical class.
So what's like an example of a saguk? Because like, for example, the closest I've come is watching like Dong Yi, and I'm not even done with that. We're like in episode 17 out of 60, and I was like, this is too many episodes.
Yeah, that's a saguk.
It is? Okay, because I feel like it's not accurate. Like, based on the Wikipedia article, it was not the same.
Dogum, Jewel in the Palace a couple years ago. I don't know them because I don't watch them because they're long and depressing and boring to me.
Right.
Huh.
But it's just really interesting, and I'm curious, like, is this going to be in Korean? Is this going to be in English? Is there anyone Korean going to be involved in this?
There's at least one Korean producer, I believe, like, Korean-American producer.
Okay.
I would imagine they're at least in a cast some Korean-American actors, you know?
You'd hope so.
Like, I think I saw, like, John Cho, like, retweeted and was like, yeah! And I was like, John Cho would like to be part of this, clearly!
John Cho! John Cho, do something cute that I can watch you in again. Something sad thing.
So yeah, I would imagine, I would hope that, like, it's as especially if Crazy Rich Asians is successful, you know, they're gonna wanna replicate that for other Asian American communities, because like that's Chinese slash Singapore.
They're gonna need like history people around.
Yeah,
this, especially if you're going to do a show that's gonna obviously have to explore a lot of the Korea-Japanese tension.
Yeah,
yeah,
right? Because that's still those tensions are still pretty high sometimes. So I would hope that they have some people around.
I mean, it's a good idea because you know how many freaking shows can you do of Western European history, because that's all we teach, you know? What it wasn't until I was in college until I really realized just how bad it was when I took like a World War II class and that professor just focused on Asia and Russia.
Oh.
And it was like, this is an entire part of history I had no idea about because nothing ever taught me about it. So it'd be, yeah, I mean, it leaves you a really broad area to there's so much untapped potential because it's not something any of us know about.
Any American TV show that's like historical or fantasy that has anything but a Western setting, like by Western I mean like European.
Yeah, I can't think of a certain.
Like, I can't come up with it. Like
no,
Avatar: The Last Airbender is all I got. Like out of everything.
Yeah, I have no idea. I couldn't think of anything.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Just, I won't be watching, I don't think.
It's just too surprising. You want them to do a happy period drama set. Somebody that, like, maybe with the bad, depressing background, because war and occupations are always going to be terrible, but at the same time, they have a happy ending.
So, Downton Abbey.
Right. Where every bad thing that ever happened during that period of time happens to this one family. That's my problem. I think I only watched a season 3 and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't. Anyway.
For the record, the producer that I'm talking about is Sue Hugh, who is the executive producer for The Terror. Yeah. So she's the one that's going to be doing it. So, I mean, The Terror is also like, even though it's also based on a book, but it's like a specific
historical setting. But, and then they're turning it into a
anthology
series. So, because the second series is going to be based in the Japanese internment camps, I think.
We'll see. So there you go. So, I mean, at the very least, I would imagine that means she has experience with finding historians that she can work with, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's promising.
Yeah.
But then also they, you know, took serious liberties with that story.
Of course. So, obviously. And I'm sure they'll take serious liberties with this one, because I'm sure the novel did.
You're making up something, and it just happens to happen during a time period that's real.
If like over 8 generations, even if they do depressing stuff, like I feel like you could maybe eventually have happy things. Like
for sure,
that
it's probably happier in the present.
Neapolitan novels, and a lot of depressing stuff happens there, but it's over the course of her whole life, so it's from like 1950 to like 2000.
So
with unrelentingly depressing.
Well, that's a question.
They better have something happy. Yeah. Otherwise, no one's going to watch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a question, too, like, obviously with how the novel is framed, because I know nothing about it. Like, does it start in the present with people, like someone telling the story of their family, you know? Mm-hmm. So you know sort of where they ended
that
up.
That could be more interesting. Like, I don't want to follow through the depression. Yeah.
Right.
If, like, it's in the present, and so whoever her, you know,
great
granddaughter or whoever is having like living her life, but then also reconnecting with her family history.
Yes, because we know it's gonna go from Korea to Japan to the United States. So we assume that in the present she's in the United States. Someone's in the United States, right? Talking about their family backstory in Korea and Japan, because that would be
and that works. That's less depressing. Yeah. Let's hope for that. Yeah. You're listening, Suhu.
All right, who's gonna do? I'll try it. Well, no shit, I can't because I don't have anything Apple. So how am I gonna watch it?
We have an Apple TV, so I assume that.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. You can be the.
I'll be trying tester. It. I'll be trying it.
Test dummy.
Yeah, my test dummy.
Good luck with that.
No, thank you.
I mean, it's a long ways off.
Yeah, right. Like in 2020, I will. When we have a new present, I will be watching the.
Hopefully. hopefully. Yes. I'm like, knock on wood. Anyway, mm. yeah. All right, well, that's cool. It's good to see that American companies making more diverse stories.
Yeah.
Like, every time you hear about it, it's like, yay, we're getting... It's very, very slow.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's been 25 years since the last Asian American-led film.
Nope.
Well. Crazy Rich Asians.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to... And the last one was... What's it called? Joylet Club?
Oh, Joylet Club. Wow.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It's 25 years.
Wow.
That's just sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really depressing. Anyway. All right, so now, speaking of depressing. Depressing, but hopeful in a way? I don't know. No, it's just depressing. I'm kidding.
Okay.
I saw a screening of Black Klansman, which opens, well...
Tonight.
We're recording...
Tomorrow, but tonight.
Tomorrow, yeah. but tonight. Depending on when this goes out.
Right.
We're recording on Thursday. And it's really good. I have to admit, I was like... thinking about it, I'm terrible at following directors, mm-hmm. so I actually haven't seen a lot of Spike Lee films, but everybody's like raving, they're like, this one of us is best, right?
Wow.
It's really good. It's funnier than you would expect, but you know, I was telling them just before we started recording, like, I'm a white woman, and I had a hard time after a while listening to the, you know, the racial slurs and anti-Semitic comments and anti-gay comments,
mm-hmm.
and like, it just, yeah, but it is at least kind of funny, and it's interesting, because what I said to them was, I feel like, and maybe I get this wrong, but it doesn't feel as bad in some ways coming for the black character Ron, played by Denzel Washington's son, which
oh.
I didn't even know until
I, didn't know
I was reading something afterwards.
He was anyway,
son. And he's fantastic in this movie, but mm-hmm. it doesn't feel as bad watching him have to, because he knows he's playing them, and so, and he thinks it's like, he can't believe that they're buying this, yeah. and especially, you know, when he starts to talking to David Duke, and David Duke goes on and being like, well, I can tell you're a white man because, like, your voice, and he's just like, what the actual fuck, like, you know, it's so ridiculous. But it's interesting watching Adam Driver's character, because he's the one who has to go and be in person. So the Ron, the actual lead, he speaks over the phone to them,
mm-hmm.
and then Adam Driver's character shows up in person when they have to do anything, like, and they actually meet.
Okay.
And it's, his character is Jewish, so he has to, and he's accused of being Jewish several times by one of the characters, mm-hmm. and he has to keep denying it, mm-hmm. and he has to keep saying horrible things about Jewish people. And he apparently, you know, wasn't really raised, like, Jewish. Okay. It's just, like, part of his history, and he's only just starting to discover it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels worse in some ways for him, because he's not, he was so removed from it. He hasn't grown up his right. entire life thinking of himself as that person,
right.
listening to what other people say. So Ron has been able to distance himself from it, and, you know, he's rising above it. But Adam Driver's character doesn't have that same remove. So it is in some ways almost worse for him. But they're really great together,
mm-hmm.
like, watching the two of them work together and the way that they establish this relationship. And, but yeah, it's just so awful watching these people and the things, you know, there's a part where, Ron has a conversation with, like, not the chief, but the somebody just under him,
okay.
not the chief of police, but who's running the thing. And they're actually having a conversation about how, there will never be, like, a president who's that racist and that openly racist. And it's obviously, yeah, because, like, Spike Lee, like, obviously, he pushed to get this movie out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And he rushed to get it made because of the,
right.
the world we're living in now.
Mm-hmm.
And because of what happened in Charlottesville, actually, a year ago today, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
I feel like, didn't they say that they used Charlottesville riots or something about that is tied to the movie?
The movie ends with footage from the Charlottesville riots. It feels really disconnected because it's weird the way it goes into it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the point is, we haven't changed.
Right.
Y'all really. Think this is just a movie?
Yeah. It's right. Yeah. You think this is like, and that was the thing that I thought was interesting too, is you're watching this and you're like, they've got very 70s clothes. They're using very 70s language, mm-hmm. things like that. But you're like, this could be today. it doesn't feel like it's from the 70s. It, you know, besides them mentioning the Vietnam War all the time and stuff like that, I'm like, this doesn't feel that disconnected. Right. But it, going back to the conversation they had in the hallway, the, you know, Ron saying that he doesn't think we'd ever have a, like, that race as a, like, nobody from the Klan's ever going to be a president, or nobody supported by the Klan's ever going to be the president or whatever. And it was like, really? I feel like at that time, it would have been... You know, and maybe that shows his optimism, because he is the first, like, person of color in this, it's somewhere in Colorado, I can't remember where, but it's,
there's not a lot of black people in Colorado.
But it's, but he's the first person of color in that, police station, and he's, like, it's good to see how hopeful he is, because, like, honestly, I would have been like, man, I feel like at that time, it would have been more likely to say there will never be a black person that's president, as opposed to there will never be an openly super racist person as president. Because I was like, no, you, what are you talking about? Of course we're going to have super racist people as president. It felt like, you know, especially at that time period. Yeah. But yeah, it, I don't know. It's going to, it's a difficult watch, because obviously you want to believe people are better than that. Mm-hmm. But it is, at least it is really uplifting when you see, like, there's a conversation where, you know, he's met Duke, and something happened, and some of the Klan members died when they tried to, like, bomb the house of the leader of the Black Student Union, and it backfired, and they caught them instead, which was like,
happy moment.
Yeah, I know, right? And then you have the moment on the phone where Ron is talking to Dave Duke, and he's like, remember that time when you thought. You're like, there's no way I'm talking to a black person. You're obviously a white person. It's like, fuck you, I'm that black guy you just met, like, 3 days ago. And that's really happy. And then it immediately turns to the Charlottesville footage.
Oh.
And I was fucking sobbing by the end of it. And
it's based on a true story.
It is based on a true story. This actually happened, which is absolutely insane.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently, like, the leader of the local Klan chapter put an ad in the newspaper. And Ron, the real person, sent a letter. In the movie, he calls, and he leaves a message, and immediately gets a phone call back. And, yeah, the guy just has no... He used his real name. What? Ron Stallworth used his real name to these people, and they never figured it out.
Wow.
Well, I mean, there's not any internet.
In that now, it's hard to imagine.
Now it would be
hard. Look up on Facebook.
Wait a second.
Yeah, there is a scene in it where the one guy who keeps questioning Adam Driver about whether or not he's Jewish looks up in the phone book, and he does meet the real Ron Stallworth. But then Adam Driver is just like, I'm not listed. It's just probably another guy. Like,
right. With the same name. Yeah. You know how they do.
But. Yeah, because that's a really Ron Stallworth, really common, very common name, right? In this small town. He was like, all right, that works. But yeah, and apparently he didn't talk about it, the real guy, he didn't talk about it for a really long time. Until,
that wouldn't,
like,
either.
It was like 30 years later, somebody was like, what's the most, like, crazy undercover assignment you ever did? And he's like, the time I went undercover with the KKK. And they're like, wait, what? And he pulled out, like, they were supposed to destroy all evidence of the case.
Yeah.
And he pulled out his KKK membership card.
That's amazing.
And it's like, that's awesome.
Wow.
Good for him.
That's
they
great.
Got the, it sounds like they got the chapter shut down, or basically, like, they fell apart after they lost half their members.
That's good.
But yeah, it's an interesting story, but it is very much about being telling you we haven't changed that much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because look at what these people could do in Charlottesville, but they felt completely open and welcome and able to do
right.
Yeah,
so depressing as fuck.
Depressing, and but like It just, it after a while, it just gets hard listening to it.
I feel like it's maybe not depressing in the sense that Pachinko sounds
Right.
Yes.
But I don't know, because I'll have to watch it, and I'm glad that I'm in the United States right now when it's coming out, so I can watch it, because it's definitely not coming out in Japan. I know that, sure. I'm not even going to hold my breath for that, but I feel like, you know, and I guess when you were talking about how Ron has felt, like, attached to it, I could kind of understand, like, the whole Ron's perspective of, like, you know, getting over, like, this group of people hates me so much, but I'm getting over on them, and I'm playing them, and I could see how that could be, like, you know, root worthy or whatever. So I guess it seems like very cunning, like, get one over on the KKK is not, like, the time period, and the language is probably going to be, like, very difficult, but
Yeah. I'm excited. Just more the idea. Yeah. Right. Like, just more the idea that it's still something that you might have to do.
Yeah, you're stupid as fuck.
Well, yeah.
KKK, basically.
Yes, fuck you, KKK.
One of the most interesting scenes is when he really starts, before he, so he's just gone undercover, but he's not, it's before he does anything with the KKK. Mm-hmm. He goes to, because there's a, the Black Student Union have, like, a discussion, and they have somebody in who's not related to the Black Panther movement, but mm-hmm. kind of in that same vein. So the police are worried about it. Mm-hmm. So they have him go undercover to this thing, and it was really interesting because watching, you know, where he's kind of in the middle, because you can tell he's like, okay, don't go too far. Like, violence isn't the answer, but at the same time, he obviously agrees with a lot of what they're saying.
Yeah.
And the way that the entire thing is shot and the things that they're saying, I thought it was really beautiful because he just keeps, you know, focusing on different faces of in the crowd.
Right.
And the way, and it was just, I thought it was a really beautiful moment.
Hmm.
And like that whole, so I think that was probably my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah.
Was focusing, because it was these are people.
Yeah.
And this is important. This isn't just, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I was just,
right.
Well. And like I said, that's just me from like a place of privilege seeing this. So I can only imagine what it will mean to other people.
Right.
And what other people will get from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right. So watch Black Klansman.
Yes, support it.
This weekend.
They're doing all kinds of, like, screenings today at the Arclight with, like, the whole cast. And
oh, seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
They did one this morning, and then they announced another one at, like, 2:30.
What the fuck?
I know, right?
All
right,
well. Oh, well.
Always watch Arclight Hollywood.
Arclight Hollywood.
Like,
got
good
it.
Stuff.
They didn't give us sometimes. Anything, especially Sorry to Bother You. Anyway, it's fine.
For what?
We saw Sorry to Bother You earlier this week, but it was obviously late. Like, it's already been out, so.
Yeah. You gotta see it when it first comes out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yes.
You.
Yes, I saw a documentary film called Science Fair from National Geographic and Univision, which was surprising. I was like, oh, what's Univision doing here? But anyway, it's cool seeing them producing films.
Yes.
Anyway, it's coming out, the New York release is going to be September 14th, and the Los Angeles release is September 21st. And I assume that from there it may or may not, you know, spread outward. But if you are in
National Geographic, it might air on their channel.
Might put it on their channel eventually. So, I don't know. I was not expecting anything. Like, when I went out, I was like, well, okay, I'm just going to see what this is. I didn't even realize it was a documentary movie. But it's really, really good. Like, if you already like science, then obviously you're gonna enjoy it. But like, if you're like me, who's like has no real interest in STEM of any kind, I was definitely like left the movie being like, oh my god, we have to invest in our scientists and in our, we have to put, you know, money into STEM classes for kids, because it's really like, even though it's like literally about these different children like from around the world competing for the Intel ICEF International Science Fair.
Okay.
And so, like, the winner gets, like, $75,000 for research.
$75,000.
Wow.
It feels like a lot of money, but to be honest, it's not.
Right, it's
for
not
research.
That.
Although they make a lot.
Yeah.
They make money go a long way.
Like, how old are these kids?
Well, they're, like, high schoolers. So, yeah. So, like,
okay,
you can pay for, like, college. Like, you can pay for, like, obviously you pay for college with it, you know?
Yeah,
like, that would work. They would work for that. But
for a year of college.
Well, yeah. If you're at this point. Only if you're an American. Because I don't want to spoil.
That's true.
About, you know.
Who wins? So don't do that.
Yeah. So I'm
but
just
in
saying.
Europe, that's like free money.
Exactly. If you're in Europe, you're paying $1,000 and you're good. So anyway.
Depending on where you are in Europe.
Right, where you are in Europe. But anyway. So it was really cool because like it follows like different kids and you get to see like a good deal of their personalities. And like it's like they really pick some like really funny moments for them. That was like both funny and educational. Yeah. And getting to see just like, you know, like almost none of them were like, oh, there's that, you know, like, no one was like, oh, that's, like, what you think a nerd is like, right?
Yeah.
So, that was really interesting.
They're real people.
They're very, yes, they're real, obviously, because they literally are real people, but they picked, moments that really showcase that, right? But at the same time, they're also, like, the projects that seem like they have a lot of, potential for, like, medicine or for technology. Like, they actually went into, like, what that project was and, like, what they're trying
to
do.
That's really good because it's not just, like, they're in the International Science Fair, so that's one thing. Mm-hmm. And they may win or get some money, but also through the documentary, they get more exposure.
Exactly.
They can get more money that way. So even if you didn't win, if your project is interesting, like, if you have, like, a medical Discovery or whatever, and Pfizer's looking at this documentary like, I like that. Instead of, like, not stealing it, but, right. like, let me invest in this
Exactly,
kid.
Let me find yeah. that, exactly. Because, like,
hopefully that's what this they one girl named Anjali,
right, hopefully not stealing. This one girl named Anjali was working on, because apparently arsenic is one of the leading, like, arsenic in water causes cancer or helps cause cancer. Mm-hmm. So she was working on, like, an arsenic detector for water, but, like, that it would, like, be, like, one thing, like, that the whole community can see, like, how much arsenic there is in the water building up over time or whatever to, like, prevent, you know, to help prevent cancer. And I was like, hello, what is this? And then this other group, okay, but she was really funny, because, like, first, she was, like, her introduction, she's like, a lot of people are jealous of me, and I know that sounds, like, really,
oh, no.
She's like, that sounds really arrogant, but it's also really true. And then, but then she was, like, then she said something, like, just, like, randomly, she was, like, but I also have to say that, like, there's a lot of people at our school that are, like, really good at science, and they're really popular, and those are the guys. And I was, like, oh. Anyway, so, and then there was this, like, one group of guys. With this in there in Kentucky, so like there's like a white guy who looks like he's a surfer from California. He like really looks like, you know, and he talks like one too. Like I was like, what? And he
does. I've been watching too much.
Yeah, Kentucky. And then his like partner. It was like three dudes, but like the partner that's like the one with the idea. And I can't exactly remember what it was, but it was like a stethoscope. Is like a more efficient and like cheaper stethoscope thing that's also gonna, it's gonna do more. It's a better stethoscope. I don't remember. I would remember being like, that's really good. So the guy, the surfer guy was like, yeah, I wanted to do this like thing where I stick the needle in the steak and then I can like make it take a picture of the inside of the steak. But then Harsha was like, maybe we should do the stethoscope thing. And I was like, I think a stethoscope idea is a little bit better than mine. Just like a little bit better. So I guess we're gonna go with it because it'll probably have more effect on the world. And I was like, yes. Probably it will. But
inside the middle of a steak?
Yes! I was like, why would anyone need to
see if it's done?
Exactly! To see if it's done! Yes! That is why. But anyway, so it was like really funny things like that throughout. But there was also one, like, the part that I really liked was like when they showed you like around the world, right? There was a guy in Germany who was like designing a new airplane. And there was two people, a girl and a guy in Brazil who were working on a cure for the Zika virus. Cool. And I was like, what? Oh my God.
Yeah.
So
that's really topical for
yeah,
Brazil.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So now I'm like, how are they doing with that? Like, yeah. Like, have we cured the Zika virus? Like, what is happening? So anyway, so that was really, like, it was really, you know, I was very stressed while watching it because I was like, I really hope that they succeed. Like, all these, like, different people, like, working on, you know, these kinds of things. But anyway.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but there was
one.
I am going to do that.
You know,
I'm going
like,
to be doing,
you know, like,
this.
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, they have, like, they do all their stories, and they, like, you know, make over the guy, and then, like, later on Twitter, you're like, oh, so-and-so from this episode got married. And
yeah.
Like, oh, yay!
Exactly. Exactly. So that's what I'm going to be doing. Like, there was this one teacher, she's, like, a teacher in Long Island, and she's talking, like all her students. One of her students, she's talking about how in her class, like, all the students in her class are Asian. But she was like, we're almost, like, 100% Asian. I think Jordan is, like, half. So, not 100%. And I was like, oh, okay. But she's from, like, her mom's from Jamaica and her dad's from somewhere else in the Caribbean. I don't remember. But anyway.
Haiti?
Nope. One with a P. Something that starts with a P, but it wasn't Panama.
Oh. Well, that was
something with a P, but not in Panama. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
The
so anyway.
Caribbean?
So or some Caribbean or Central America area.
Oh.
So.
It's not Panama.
No, it was not Panama, is all I remember. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So she was just talking about how she's also an immigrant and how she, like, you know, connects to them on that level because when you come as an immigrant,
right,
you feel like you need to succeed more, right? Like, you came for opportunity. You came, you're not trying to waste your parents' efforts. And also, then she talked about, like, how much of our country's resources and science advancements have been created by immigrants, by people who were not originally American. So, anyway, so I thought that
but
was really...
But immigrants don't contribute anything to our country, right?
Right? Right? So, anyway, so I love that, because then it was, like, really, like, the point is, like, we are falling behind as a country on, like, believing in science, investing
yes,
in science, you
definitely.
Know, all that. So I was like, yes! Save! Anyway, just watching her with the students was hilarious, because she was... And there was, like, she's, like, really hard on us, but she's, like, our mom. She's always, like, pushing us to. And then, like, yeah, her school was, like, because at first I was, like, so this, like, just teacher just decided that she's going to make her students really good at science. Like, what happened? But she's actually, like, she has a doctorate. Oh. Like, she's, like, a doctor of some kind of science, I don't know. And then then they just assigned her to the school to, like, make it amazing, I guess. So, I was like, that's so cool. And she also, like, opened, low-income students, like, students from disadvantaged families, you know, mm-hmm. Do classes in, like, summer school for them and stuff. I was like, that's awesome. So cool. Like, yeah. Anyway.
Unless her father is not from Puerto Rico. Like, there's no other P.
Hey, fine. Maybe it's not a P. I just can't remember the name of the country, okay?
There's Port-au-Prince in Haiti.
No, that's it wasn't Port-au-Prince. It wasn't Port-au-Prince.
See, I have to look stuff up because it's bothering me now.
Well, and, like, Panama is literally the only... You know what? Oh, no, you can't watch it because you're already going to be in Japan. I will tell you when the movie comes out. I will watch it again and tell you what country her father was from. Her mother was from Jamaica is all I remember. Her dad was from some other country.
Her dad is not important.
Her dad does not matter. No. Obviously, he's important as well, but I clearly cannot remember what country it was. It was just, I know it was somewhere near Jamaica. It was not Jamaica, but it's near Jamaica. And there's
Dominican
a P
Republic,
in it?
Maybe?
It might be the Dominican Republic.
That was what I kept going to. Okay. I'm like,
it might
for
be,
some reason
because
that...
there's a public.
Pub, yeah. That was wow. exactly what I was thinking.
Anyway.
That's not important. Well, that's awesome, though.
Yes.
It sounds like a really good movie.
It was really
what
good.
What year was it from, does it say?
It was the 2017
So they're probably still working on their... I'm like, there's no huge,
yeah,
like
the end, right, no, the end does tell you, like, they're working on this thing right now. So, like, yes, when I got to the end of my faves, the Brazilians working on the Zika virus, it was like, they're furthering their research at their universities. So I was like, okay.
That's awesome.
We have not yet solved this... But yeah.
But they're on their way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And yes, we should invest in STEM. Mm-hmm. And not the Space Force.
And not the Space Force.
Stupid.
Yes.
STEM and NASA and things like that. But not Space Force, because nobody needs fucking police in space.
Right.
Sorry, there was news about it today, and I was like, ah!
Yeah, my friend was sending me all these videos of, like, Trump supporters reacting to the Space Force, and I'm just like, okay, I see.
Sigh. Anyway. Moving on.
Yes. Oh, so, speaking of, like, diversity in film and TV and stuff, so, Netflix, this is a Netflix original, and so it's not just in Japan, and you can still see it in the U.S., so it's a perfect way to watch illegal Japanese drama.
Most of the stuff we usually talk about, it's like, okay, but we don't know how you're gonna get that.
Yeah.
They do not make a lot of J-dramas available.
No, I don't think there's usually a lot, and so it's kind of surprising to see this one on here. And it's kind of like a Freaky Friday, first of all, let me tell you what it's called. It's called Switched, and it is kind of like a Freaky Friday kind of show, but instead of it being a comedy, it's a little bit darker. And so, like, Japanese drama is, like, a huge subset of Japanese dramas is, of course, like, the high school mm-hmm. drama, and then, like, with the high school, you've got bullying is a huge theme. A lot of the times it's not very fun to watch because it's just, like, super... And I don't know, because I didn't go to high school in Japan, so I don't really know how bad it gets. But I have had a friend tell me that, you know, when she was bullied in high school. And it's just, like, super bad because Japan is a very, like, collective mm-hmm. group culture. And so if you are anywhere outside the group or pushed outside the group or anything like that, it can be very isolating and all this kind of stuff. So the premise... of the story, there are these two girls. One is named Ayumi, and she's very thin, she's very pretty, she's a very popular girl. And then the other girl is, her name is Zenko Umine, and she is not the classical Japanese size, so she's a little bit heavier, she's kind of, you know, got the emo swoop bangs that over her face, and she's, you know, very bullied, very, you know, upset with life. And in the beginning of because I've only watched the first episode, so I'm just going to talk about that. But in the beginning of the episode, you see the differences between the two girls. Mm-hmm. Ayumi has, like, a very, like, loving, happy family, very bright. She has, like, all these best friends. She just gets her first boyfriend.
Ooh.
So, like, this guy that she's had a crush on forever finally asked her out. Mm-hmm. And they're getting ready to go on their first date. And you see her getting ready in the morning, and her family's talking about this weird astronomical event that's going on, like a red moon, and oh, this is weird or whatever. And she's literally on her way to meet Koshiro, which is the guy that she's going out with, mm-hmm. and she gets a call from Umine. And Umine, on the other hand, she is at the last end of her rope. She's, like, climbing up to the top of the school. The first episode is called Suicide, by the way, so,
warning.
Yeah,
warning. Warning.
And she's ready to end it all, and, like, she calls Ayumi, and they, like, meet, like, looking up. Ayumi's looking up at mm-hmm. Zenko at the top,
and she's just talking about, you know, like, this is the end for me, I want you to watch, kind of thing.
So, like, why does she call her? Are they, like, enemies?
They are not enemies, but I think that's part, because you don't figure it out in the first episode, but okay. I think it's on purpose. And so, like, and she
does. Some connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, they're on the phone looking at each other when she decides to jump, and then the next thing, and, like, that part was, I had to, like, stop for a minute, because the, you don't see it, but there's, like, sound effects, and it's like, no.
Oh,
Wow.
Yeah.
But, like, the next scene is, you see Zenko waking up in the hospital room, but it's not Zenko, it's Ayumi. So Ayumi's, like, somehow between Zenko falling and the hospital room, and the red moon sitting out in the sky, they switch bodies. And so you start with Ayumi and Zenko's body, and she's, like, very freaked out, obviously. You, like, her, Umine's mom, Zenko's mom, comes to pick her up, and, like, it's just a whole very jarring experience for her. And it's...
Which one?
I don't... I'm telling you, Siri. It's, like, a very jarring experience.
Sorry, Siri really wanted to help Tatiana, apparently.
Siri really wants to know what's going to happen in this episode.
You think, but she might have cared about the apple,
right?
That we were talking about earlier. Anyway.
Like, it's really very difficult for her, and she's trying to tell everybody, like, she goes to her mom, her real mom, and, like, her mom's like, I don't know you, strange girl, and she goes to school, and she sees her own body. Ayumi sees herself, but it's obviously it's not her.
Right.
And she's trying to convince everybody, and no one believes her. And it's kind of, it's weird because she keeps, like, acting like she is still Ayumi.
Oh.
And she's not getting that same response because her outer appearance is Zenko. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, you have Zenko in Ayumi's body, and she's very comfortable now because she has, like, all the friends she has, and you learn that Zenko also has a crush on Koshiro.
Of course she does. Of course.
Yeah. So now she's got Ayumi's boyfriend, she has Ayumi's life, and she's totally fine with staying in Ayumi's body. So, like, fuck you, Ayumi. This is my time now. You can see how I used to live. And, like, that's how you get this kind of, that's, like, the premise, the back and forth between them. And so, like, you have, it's kind of like a twist, too, because Zenko's not even, like, the good person, really.
Right.
Because she did this on purpose to steal Ayumi's life.
Oh.
And Ayumi, you kind of root for her, because she's not, like, the vapid, mean girl. She's actually very nice. She just happens to be very popular, very pretty. Uh-huh. But she's also, like, very sweet. And so it's kind of, like, even if you are pretty on the outside, which Zenko is now, if you're still ugly on the inside, then that's not...
Right.
Yeah.
You know. So it's like a reverse inner beauty drama.
Yeah. And then, like, with Ayumi, even though she's different on the outside, she's still the same, like, really nice, sweet girl on the inside.
But she's still not going to get
positive. But she's still struggling between, like, figuring out, like, why people are treating her this way. Mm-hmm. But you see, like, eventually, later on in the first episode, that her still being herself, she gets an ally through that. And so now there's kind of like a little bit of a battle back and forth. So I'm like, after I finished the first episode, I was like, yes, I'm invested now. Let's see what is coming up. So, like, the first half of the first episode is a little bit hard. But once you get into the actual, I see you, you see me, this is how it's going to be kind of thing, then I think it could be really interesting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right. I'm about to check that one out.
Yeah.
And did they put the entire series up on Netflix then?
The season one. Because it's not in Japan. Like, it hasn't shown in Japan, like, on TV that I know of. I think it's a Netflix original.
Oh,
just
okay.
Just for the, like, Netflix.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's fairly interesting.
So how many episodes of season one?
Let me look it up. I feel like maybe 10, because that's usually how it is.
J-dramas
are,
like,
10. Oh, nice. And our J-dramas usually, they usually just have one season as well?
It's usually just one season because, you know, they're cruel. Unless it's, like, super popular,
so,
and it has to be, like, really... Like,
does Zenko person know about the Red Moon?
I don't know, because that's not... It's not clear yet, just from the first episode, but it's very clear, like, once she and Ayumi are alone together, and she reveals that she knows that she's in Ayumi's body now, and she doesn't want to go back, it seems very clear that...
She did it on purpose.
That's the reason that she did it. And because I'm like, why was she calling, like, Ayumi, like, off the building, like, watch me die?
Yeah, really.
He's like, what did Ayumi do to you?
Right.
She somehow knew something would happen.
Yeah, but... No, it's six episodes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very short That Little is really Caesar. Short. Yeah.
Interesting.
Then I can definitely get through it.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm like, that sounds kind of fun.
Yeah.
I will give that a shot. Switched.
Switched.
All right.
On Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yes, it means you're going to have to watch, like, subtitles.
Right.
Get yes. over it.
And it has subtitles. And, like, well, it's probably because I'm in the U.S., because that's another reason why I know it's Netflix original, because it has English subtitles. And the ones in Japan, when I want to watch, like, something Japanese on Japanese Netflix, no subtitles. Yeah. Unless it's in Japanese. I'm like, well, now I have to do double work.
Oh, yeah, can you imagine? I never thought about that. Yeah. Yeah, so they're like, here's your subtitles, but it's for closed captioning, so right. it's still the language.
Right.
Yeah. Be like, ah, think.
Let me practice my kanji while I try to watch the show.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's enough of our reviews. Now we get to talk about the stupid things that the Academy did this
Tell
week.
Us the stupid things.
Okay. So, like...
More than one.
Right?
They did three things. Some of them... are not necessarily... I'll start with probably the least stupid, and then we'll work our way up to the stupidest.
Yeah? Okay.
Okay, so the first one is that they've moved the date for the 2020 showing. Or the... Not 2019, because it's too late.
Oh, okay, okay.
But 2020, instead of being the 23rd or something of February, it's now going to be the 9th of February.
They moved it up.
Yeah, which they had done before, because it used to be at the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
It was only a few years ago, I think, they moved it up.
Yeah.
And this is all, everything that they're doing is to try and be more relevant. Because the Oscars have been dipping in
ratings
yeah. a lot. And apparently, after this year's Oscars, when they went to the ABC basically went to the Academy and was like, this is dire.
Oh.
Because the ratings dropped like 13%, but if you looked at the 18 to 49 demographic, it was even worse. Because this is the problem is, okay, only old people are watching the Oscars now.
Right.
How do we make this more relevant? Otherwise, this What's property is not yeah. more that important. But, so yeah, they went, and this is all, you know, I guess it's not really, can you, it's a knee-jerk reaction, but not,
uh-huh.
like, it's, I mean, they've obviously been talking about it, but it sounds like it was all decided on, Tuesday night.
Wow.
Like, they voted for to keep the president they currently have,
mm-hmm.
and then they were like, and we need to do these things to fix it. So one of them was moving it up, so that it's earlier. I think now it's only going to be, what, like, a week after the Golden Globes,
huh.
or something like that. Because by the time it comes, it's so late that, like, it's, everybody's tired and they right. feel like they've, like,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I can kind of see that. Plus, like, then we have to assume that the movies will be really fresh in everyone's minds.
Yes.
Yeah.
More, yeah, but then it gives them less time to watch them, too.
That's true, less time to watch it. Maybe they'll get out screeners earlier.
So that was the first change, which isn't so bad. And then the second one is, it's only going to be a 3-hour telecast now.
Okay.
They seem pretty strict by that.
It was already 3 hours.
No, it's been like 4. I think they say 3 and then always runs to 4.
Okay. Right.
But they're apparently like, no, it's going to be 3.
Well, that's good.
But to do that,
yeah, the cut stuff.
What they've said that is, yeah, they've said they're not going to necessarily cut things. So it's not going to be like when before, like now there's a special night, like, because all the tribute stuff
yeah,
is now a separate night. That's
yeah,
not
that.
During the, yeah. the... No, I mean, like, the honorary awards. Those right, are not right. shown as right. part of the broadcast yeah. anymore.
But they can cut out all those, like, random interludes of, like...
All this scientific stuff was moved a long
right.
time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, or was it ever even in...
I don't know.
I don't think that it was there.
I don't think they were in it.
But what they're going to have to do is, yeah, take... They haven't said what categories, but some categories they will be presented during the commercials. And then at some point later in the episode, they'll have, like... the show. They'll have some kind of clip thing of, like, these are all the things that won. So that they can do really quick things and not have to sit there for 10 minutes watching somebody who did, like, best foreign short animated documentary.
Aww.
That nobody...
That's how we find out about them.
Exactly! That's how we find out!
I know I know people who, like, deliberately go see those things. But yeah those are all gonna... Yeah.
Sad.
They're not gonna be part of the show proper anymore.
Okay.
Which is going to piss off anybody related to those properties.
Yeah.
But somebody was... Or I think it was, like, Variety I was reading. One of them pointed out that the people who would be part of those bodies would have been part of the Board of Governors who had to agree to this plan in the first place, which means that those people know how bad it is getting
right, that's
and
true.
How in trouble they are.
That makes sense.
And then, the one that everybody's really, really, really pissed off about, because that's not bad enough, is Achievement in Popular Film. It's the new award that is going to be handed out.
Yeah.
Which, the best thing I saw, because, like, there's obviously been lots of great Twitter reactions mm-hmm. to it. The best one I saw was that it's the Black Panther honorary, oh shit, we don't think this movie is going to get nominated award.
Right.
Basically. Because that is what it is.
Yeah. Right.
You know, the expansion from 5 movies to a possible 10
uh-huh.
was a reaction to the fact that The Dark Knight got nominated for 8 films. Or for 8 awards, but not Best Picture.
Right.
Because immediately the next year, it was like, hey, look, we're going to expand to 10 films now.
Yeah.
Because they were starting to really realize that it was becoming a problem that all the movies that are getting nominated, no one's ever heard of.
Right.
Right.
Until they get nominated. And even then, you know, I think it was last year, so we had 8 or 9 nominees this year? I think it was 9.
Uh-huh.
At those 9 movies made $75 million at the box office. Combined.
Combined.
Wow.
Yeah, that's bad. That's like what a Marvel movie does in a day.
Right, it feels right. like.
Depending. So, this is the reaction. But the problem is, okay, there's a lot of different ways that people are reacting to it. There are people who are reacting to it with, this is a way of giving Black Panther an award without having to give it Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's what it is.
Because they, like, didn't they clarify that even if it was nominated for a popular award, it could also be nominated yes, for Best Picture?
It can still be nominated. Just as, the same as...
He's like, we're not going to give you the Best Picture award, but here have this consolation prize.
Yeah.
Is what it is in actuality.
It is what it... Yeah, and you have to compare it to... There's the Best Animated Feature Award, right?
Yeah.
Right. Which was introduced after Beauty and the Beast is the only animated feature that has ever been nominated for Best Picture.
Uh-huh.
So... They introduce this award, and it's hard, because, you know, people are like, well, there you go, now you never have to, and it's like, no, but that was the first one that was ever nominated right. for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. I think it's more that they're never going to give it to, and this is the problem. Do you introduce new categories just to try and recognize things, or do you need to just continue to diversify the Academy, who has gotten so stuck up about what mm-hmm. is a Best Picture worthy film,
right?
And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. You've got an Academy that is so made up of old white men
uh-huh.
who haven't made a movie in 60 years, but right? they're still part of the Academy
mm-hmm.
who think it who seem to be proud to be able to say, well, like, take, you know, because Black Panther is obviously at the center of this this conversation
mm-hmm.
that they're looking at a movie, they're like, okay, they would be probably proud to say, well, I didn't see it because it wasn't made for me.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, then you shouldn't be able to vote for Best Picture because you're not seeing a movie that people obviously are saying is like
a contender.
Yeah, you should have to see a hell of a lot of movies anyway. But right. if this is a movie that everyone's talking about and it came out in February before you even had your Oscars for this year, so it's
right.
it's a full year in advance mm-hmm. and people are already talking about it when. Usually the only stuff that really gets talked about is the stuff in the last, like, 3 months of the year.
Right.
And you're refusing to see it? Because you know that there are 70, 80-year-old white men in this yeah. Academy who are like, I'm not going to see
that
movie. I don't
want to see the fucking yeah. movies that y'all put out for Best Picture. Like, right. Why can't you see, you know?
Yeah, right?
We're both not seeing movies, and, you know.
I mean, Matt said something about what they need to... could they... Because there are different ways that you can vote. Like, a lot of the more... broad or the more specific categories, I should say, mm-hmm. are only voted by people who are members of that. Like, I think it's narrowed down. Like, they get to come up with the 5, and then when it's the final nominees, everybody gets to vote, something mm-hmm. like that. But, you know, can, instead of sending screeners to people, can we find a way to update where it's you can only screen them through the internet, and there is a way to point out that they can see that you watched the movie.
Right. Yeah.
And if mm-hmm. you haven't watched enough of the movies, then you don't get to vote.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea.
There should also be like a counter, like how far into the movie they watched. Did you watch yes. the complete movie, or did you right. watch like first 5 minutes and like, nope.
Yeah, and this is the problem. There's been so many, like, what was it? Rob Lowe, I think, tweeted, this is the day that the movie industry died.
Oh my God.
And, you know, because it is, it's like, okay, so you've just decided, it's like, no, if you really think only, popular films can only get nominated if you have, like, a specific category or something for them, well, that's what the MTV Movie Awards are.
Right.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, fine, just let that be. just accept that you're not going to. Somebody did point out that if you actually adjust for inflation, all time, you know, the number one grossing movie of all time, if you adjust for inflation, is Gone with the Wind.
Right.
It was nominated for a hell of a lot of Oscars.
Right.
If you actually look at the top 10 adjusted for inflation, I think Snow White is the only movie that didn't get any nominations, but it actually got an honorary one later.
Mm.
All of the other ones. And it is mostly stuff you're like, wait, that was, you know, like Star Wars is up there.
Right.
It did get nominated for stuff. I don't think it ever got nominated.
I mean,
for
I feel
Best
like,
Picture, but...
I feel like the thing with that is that obviously before there were fewer movies to choose from. Yeah. So like, but then with fewer movies to choose from, you're also, you know, forced to actually look at the quality of everything that you have available.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now there's so much, so when something is popular, people are hipsters about it, and they're like, well, since that is popular, it cannot be good.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the virtue of having a achievement in popular film is literally, like, saying, congrats on being popular.
Congrats on making lots of money, here's an award for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. But you're not actually good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Movie snobs. Yeah.
And that is the thing, is like, okay, well, you know, yeah, you look at the movies. Somebody I know did actually do, like, he's into equations and stuff. I don't know how much of it he figured out himself, but he actually did look, and he said, if you look at up to, I think it's like 2004, that's when it started becoming really, like, the disparity. Like, because before that, he said most of those movies are actually doing fairly good money.
Mm-hmm.
But then it changed.
So what was the big event that happened in 2004?
I think basically what people are attributing it to is the studios decided that making lots of money was more important than making art. So they're not making the big films anymore. So there isn't money behind the films that are art house anymore.
Right.
And so all the small films are being recognized by the voters, but they don't have the push to get people to in theaters
actually see
to actually
right.
see them. So it's not necessarily that there's, yeah, it's the studios creating the problem because they are not making just artistic films anymore
right.
for the most part.
Right.
That's partly that, which I think is, you know, that's a fair assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's also, I mean, somebody pointed out, okay, well, you've had white America decide what a Oscar-worthy movie is.
Right.
And they've decided that it's these artsy films and not something like that. Black Panther,
right.
Or Infinity War, or whatever else you want to put in that category. Deadpool, whatever else people think is going to be in the pop. Like, I think they already figured out what they think the five nominees would be.
Right.
This year, it's going to be Black Panther, Infinity War, Deadpool 2. Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again.
Yeah!
And I can't remember what that's the odd one out. They're all like genre films,
right.
except for Mamma Mia,
yeah.
which is funny.
Mamma Mia.
I'm wondering how many nominations there are going to be. They're going to have, like, per that category.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. They've not given us any indication of what it means. It's achievement in popular film. Okay, what does that mean?
Right.
It made a lot of money at the box office. It's a genre film that people like, because we don't recognize genre films usually for the Best Picture.
I guess it's like the best of the rest, right?
Yeah, it's how do you...
is whether or not like a Michael Bay movie is going to make it.
And that's the
that
thing.
Would
people
be
are like, fucking hell, Michael Bay is going to get nominated for an Oscar at some
right.
point. That's, yeah, like, it's Transformers. It's fucking Bumblebee.
That Bumblebee movie.
Going to be nominated for an Oscar. Besides, like, makeup or special effects.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, there are ways they could... There are things they could actually recognize that should be recognized as artistry by the Academy that aren't being recognized.
Mm-hmm.
There's still no stunt performer award.
Right.
Motion capture is still completely ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Voice work is still completely ignored. And they're not doing anything about that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous to me.
It's ridiculous. Stunt work should be. Because
yeah.
that is
yeah, that's
beautiful.
Hard.
And
yeah.
that is art. And, but, yeah, they don't, they're, instead, they're gonna
then
be,
that
like...
Then that would be a lot of genre.
That would be, exactly, then genre films would get, would
and
have...
You can't have that.
Exactly.
Because there's the all, they're all, to show just how fucked up the Academy is, my biggest complaint at the Academy Awards every year is the costume design Academy.
Yes!
Almost every year, the winner of that award is somebody who could literally go out and look, find a pattern from, like, McCall's.
Right.
Like, you I understand that there's still artistry and craft to that. I'm not saying there isn't. But how can you tell me that that is better than creating an entire look for an entire population of a made-up character, or like a made-up species?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? That always pisses me off. Because wasn't it Phantom Thread that won this year?
Yeah, Phantom Thread. It's still like...
There are patterns. My mom probably owns patterns that would fit into that. Is that a
period piece? Yeah, it's a period piece.
It seems like period pieces are the only ones that win that category.
It's
not even that great. Like, even in the movie, I'm like, okay, she's wearing a corset and, like, you know... Tool.
Yeah. Like, it's supposed to be like, oh, but it means so much or whatever, but like,
it's part of, it's still, they have to establish the look and the feel of the character, and they're doing that with the costume, and it's like, but I'm still going to tell you that what they did for Lord of the Rings was probably a lot more important than what you did for Phantom Thread.
If you have, like, a historical thing to base all of your looks off of, you had some, like, creativity and work in doing that, but, like, how much more creativity does it take to make up your own fucking world?
Right.
And costuming and stuff like that.
Or having to, like, if you're pulling together, like, making a pastiche, right? Like, you have to pull together from all different kinds of cultures that you're then creating something new from.
Yeah, I mean, like, Lord of the Rings, they did pull from history for a lot of that stuff, because that's what
And with Black Panther, too, like, getting all the different tribes.
Yes, you know, but you have, like, you know, you only chose this specific fabric for this tribe. Exactly. Because of this, and, you know, there's so much more that goes into that.
Yeah, each population in Black Panther, tribe in
a different style.
Of Wakanda has a different style and a different look, and that, to me, feels like, you know, and especially, they went to Africa and pulled from that, but it's like, yeah, but that's still a little. That's still probably a little bit harder than pulling from a fucking McCall's catalog.
Yeah.
Well, they went to Africa to get from, like, real tribes and real people, and then attributed that to a completely, like, made up culture. And so I feel like there's an extra step there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The Academy, it's a stupid effort, and it's just too late. And what one person pointed out was, okay, but this is you changing everything about yourself and making up stuff to make it make yourself appealing for one night of the year.
Right.
Whereas the rest of the year, you're still doing things and you're still servicing a community of artists, but you're compromising yourself basically for one show that airs one night of the freaking year. Is it really important enough to do that?
Right.
And it does feel like a knee-jerk reaction, because it was like, seriously, this is what you're doing? Because, like, honestly, my first thought was, why isn't there a stunt person category? And you're just like, and I'm gonna, I mean, I feel like Black Panther and the Winter Soldier and things like that deserve awards.
No.
But at the same time,
not that award.
Yeah, it's a consolation prize. Yeah.
I mean, the thing that they should do is just put Black Panther in their nomination for this coming year.
This definitely feels like, oh shit, we're afraid of our Academy and they're not going to vote for this film. And this is how we have to make sure we get something. Because we're going to get... Because they don't want another Oscar So White.
Is that...
Is basically what.
And then it's on. Also, look, we have popular stuff. Watch our show.
Yes. Right.
We can get...
Y'all right there?
Because what those nominees are going to be, well, then you can get the cast of the Avengers up there.
Right.
In fact, I can tell you now, there's going to, because Infinity War will be nominated, I think Black Panther's gonna win, but Infinity War will be nominated, and so then you're gonna have some kind of tribute to Marvel Cinematic Universe, because the 10-year thing.
And have all the stunt performers, you won't give an award.
Yes!
Do something on stage.
There you go. Exactly. I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking.
People actually risking their lives for this industry.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they get no recognition whatsoever. But it's an art, you know, and it's one of those things that's been around since the beginning of it's you know, we see it more because we see bigger epic and it's safer to do it now. Not completely safe, because obviously we had that death on Deadpool 2.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is safer. But I mean, one of my absolute favorite movies, The Fall, is about a stunt performer in 1920s, I think it is. Yeah, so.
And then if you have, like, a movie like The Matrix, where, like, their stunt choreography and everything that went behind that was just something, like, completely new to film in general.
Yeah. And it was never recognized.
Never recognized.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous to me. I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they think they're doing. But I think this is, and I guess their reaction has just been like, nobody likes change. It'll blow over. And I'm like, I don't think so. Because I think the fact that even you came up with this category, but you're like, we'll give you the criteria for it later. It's like, right. That means you weren't prepared.
Yeah.
You should have thought about this and been like, hey, let's start this. How do we want to do it? And then tell people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Dumb.
Yeah. I watched the Oscars, but I fast forward through a lot of it. I'm
right.
Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I watched Twitter during the Oscars.
Exactly. Twitter during the Oscars.
I watched for people I like. I see who won, and if it's somebody I like who won, and I liked the film, I'll listen to them talk. And whatever performances they do, basically. That's about it. Yeah, we don't start until, like, 2 hours into it, and then we fast forward through a lot of it.
It's there a you good go. Strategy.
Yeah. It works nicely. Just stay away from Twitter so you don't get spoiled, but that's okay. Anyway, so I don't think this is going to save them any more than having James Franco and Anne Hathaway host that 1 year, and that was a clusterfuck.
Right.
I don't think that wasn't going to save them, and this isn't going to save them either. I don't know. I think they just need to accept that award shows are dated and most people don't like watching them anymore.
Yeah.
Because they're all going downhill. I think, MTV might be the only one who's not, and that's because it is only popular stuff, and people only watch it for the celebrities and the performances, and the celebrities show up because they all know they're going to win.
Right.
So everybody knows who's going to win based on who's going to be there.
That's yeah. true.
But even then, I didn't watch. I think I watched parts of the... I did the same thing with MTV Movie Awards. We fast-forward through parts of it. Because, like, half the performances, I'm like, this is not the kind of music I listen to. I don't know what this is. Who are these people? And people watch that for trailers, because they drop new trailers during that show.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Anyway, the Academy's stupid. End of rant.
No lies.
To conclude, the Academy sucks.
And needs to keep changing. I think the part of the problem too is they've added a lot of like newer talent to the field, and that's helping, but I think at the same time they're finding it hard to balance because they have all of the old guard who aren't really relevant anymore. Mm-hmm. And haven't been for a very long time, and how do you balance those people with. And it's like, maybe you have to institute something where
like you have to, like,
if you don't make a movie for 5 years, 10 years, give them 10, fine. If you don't make a movie for 10 years, you don't get to vote anymore.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because you're not, can you really say, if you made a movie once, my brother used to take piano lessons from somebody, she did, like, one movie, like, 30 years before, and she's part of the Academy, and she gets to vote, and I was like, you don't have anything to do with, like, movies anymore.
Right.
Why?
What would be the point? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And that's the problem. Anyway. On that note.
What is on that note?
I don't know. On that note of the Academy is stupid.
Yes.
Just say it over and over again.
Please invite us.
We would not think they were so stupid if we were getting to go to things, I'm sure. Anyway. On that note, I think that's the end of our podcast.
Yes.
As always, look for more news, reviews, interviews, etc. Mm-hmm. on withanaccent.com. Follow us at withanaccent on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, and withanaccent TV on YouTube.
The Odd Man Out.
And then Papa La Carte Pod on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.
Au revoir!